I was going to fire Comey. My decision. I was going to fire Comey. There's no good time to do it, by the way.
I have been authorized by the Department of Justice to confirm that the FBI is investigating the Russian government's efforts to interfere in the 2016 presidential election.
Quote the president, according to the Times, I just
fired the head of the FBI.
He was crazy.
A nut job.
Nut job, Trump said.
Calling him a showboat.
Showboat and a grandstander.
President Trump provided the kind of strong and decisive leadership the American people have come to be accustomed from him. And he took the action necessary to remove Director Comey.
No, Jim Comey is also to know his fierce independence and his deep integrity.
The vast majority of FBI employees enjoyed a deep and positive connection to Director Comey.
Comey was furious at the way he was fired, that he never even got a phone call.
What message do you have to give Comey ahead of his testimony?
I wish him luck.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Well, that's how we got here. Now, where are we headed on the biggest day of the biggest story of the presidency of Donald J. Trump? Yesterday's advance release of the highly anticipated, expected opening statement of James Comey before the U.S. Senate today told us of one-on-one contacts, including face-to-face meetings between Comey and Trump. Quote, prior to the January 6th meeting, I discussed with the FBI's leadership team whether I should be prepared to assure President-elect Trump that we were not investigating him personally, end quote. Here's another quote from the statement. A few moments later, the president said, I need loyalty. I expect loyalty. I didn't move, speak, or change my facial expression in any way during the awkward silence that followed. We simply looked at each other in silence. The conversation then moved on, but he returned to the subject near the end of our dinner. You could think of it as a trailer for Godzilla versus Megalon, or in this case, Trump versus Comey, but it remains to be seen if today's hearings will live up to the billing of that kind of confrontation. Though lawmakers may try to add voltage, the veteran cool hand Comey may just keep things a 70 degrees Fahrenheit in room 216 of the Hart Senate office building.
I worked for James Comey, so to me, he is a man of great professional and personal integrity. I've always viewed him as a straight shooter, and he's a lifelong public servant to whom this stuff is really important. It's what he does.
Jennifer Rogers is a former federal prosecutor who worked with James Comey when he was a U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. Rogers is currently executive director of the Center for the Advancement of Public Integrity at Columbia Law School. And she and Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick had a lively discussion about whether today's testimony could disclose possible impeachable offenses, such as the big buzz for weeks on Capitol Hill, obstruction of justice.
I see some things that suggest that the president is trying to influence the investigation in a way that is helpful to him. But in terms of a bright line, you know, is there evidence on which a prosecutor could bring criminal obstruction of justice charges? No, I don't think so. Not from what we see here. I mean, more may come out, of course, but from this statement, I don't think it's there.
What was the news here as far as you're concerned? We certainly have the January 27th dinner that has been reported somewhat in the press, where James Comey appears to make clear that President Trump not only asked him for loyalty, but asked him to back away from an investigation ostensibly of Michael Flynn.
Yes, you certainly have a lot more color on that conversation than we had from what had leaked out before. Previously, we had a request for loyalty and a refusal to give that loyalty pledge. But now we have it seemingly much more stronger, I guess you could say. You have the president saying, gee, you want to keep your job. A lot of people want your job. And then kind of repeated requests for loyalty, including what amounts to a bit of a stare-off. So I think that that conversation kind of comes through in more vivid detail and looks a little worse for the president than what we had seen before.
So as the prosecutor, what do you see here when you read the best version we have of a transcript, at least from James Comey's memory? Do you see a president who's canny enough about how conversations like this go, that he's asking for loyalty, that he's threatening somebody's job, but he's not really going to do it because he could be held accountable? What do you see?
It's not clear whether he's kind of canny enough to apply the pressure without going so far as to cross the criminal line or not. I think he doesn't cross the criminal line. He's certainly trying to exert influence and power and suggesting that he doesn't want this investigation to continue. Whether he knows he's getting close to that line or not, I don't know. I don't think he gets there, though.
What else do you see in this statement, Jennifer? What jumped out at you the most when you read it?
Well, I do think that, as I mentioned, the conversation around the loyalty is very troubling. There were a couple things, I think, though, that look a little less bad for the president than they did before. One being this conversation about Michael Flynn and, you know, can you let go of it? Comey says that he construed that actually as not meaning in the context of the entire Russian investigation, but rather narrowly about Flynn's having lied to the vice president. So, you know, if that's right, and if Comey took that to be right, you know, the president is unlikely to contradict him on that, then, you know, he wasn't actually saying, you know, you got to shut this whole thing down, this whole thing, you know, about Flynn needs to be ended. He was instead, you know, asking kind of for a more narrow thing. You know, on the other hand, these conversations about the cloud are new. So calling up the FBI director and saying, gee, this whole Russia thing is a cloud over me. I can't do my job. It's interfering with me. What can you do about it? You know, can't you make it go away? You know, those are new conversations that, again, imply that the president is trying to exert some pressure on Comey to do something about the investigation that the president wants him to do.
You know, so much of this statement comes from Jim Comey's habit of memorializing his tough interactions in memos right away. Do you see a person who thought that these awkward or difficult or bad conversations with the president could become legally important? Or do you see someone who simply has a habit of writing things down so that he can't be, I don't know, double-crossed later?
It definitely seems to me that he was concerned about the nature of these conversations, and so he started recording them in writing as soon as he could. I mean, he says as much in the statement that it was not his practice. He did not do it with President Obama, and yet as soon as he had that first troubling meeting, he immediately goes out and starts writing what happened, knowing that maybe nothing will ever show up in a court of law, but that he needs for his own purposes to document what's going on in case anything ever happens and he's questioned about what was said.
Comey seems to confirm that he told the president on several occasions that he wasn't directly under investigation by the FBI. But do we know if that's still true? Do we know from this statement whether the president, even though he wasn't under investigation, that he isn't currently? Can we know if any of those facts have changed?
Well, there are a couple things here. One is that Jim Comey is only talking about the FBI's counterintelligence investigation. He's not talking about Bob Mueller's independent counsel investigation. So that's one thing. Bob Mueller is going to be looking, I think, more broadly at all of these circumstances and see kind of where these ties to Russia lead in terms of Trump and his administration. He's not going to be stopping at Michael Flynn or any other one person. So that's one point. The other thing is Comey does provide some context to this conversation that sheds a lot of light on what he was actually talking about, because he talks about the notion of a counterintelligence investigation being focused on an American who may have been compromised by the Russians or another foreign power, not that an investigation may ultimately land on someone and provide evidence that they did something wrong. So those are two very different things that the president, of course, has not made that distinction clear when he says that Comey told him he's not under investigation.
So I guess in a way this gets us back to a terrible old trope from White House politics. It depends on what the definition of is. If James Comey told the president he isn't under investigation, then it doesn't necessarily mean he isn't now.
That's true. And also, you know, the fact that he's not have a counterintelligence investigation opened into him because of the salacious material in the dossier that he was briefing the president about, you know, just doesn't mean that he's not being looked at as someone who may have him and his team colluded with the Russians in terms of the election. So those are kind of two different things in two different ways. So the president saying he told me I'm not under investigation doesn't really get you very far in actuality.
So Jim Comey wanted this long-awaited statement released early by the Senate Intelligence Committee, a full day early. You know him a little bit. Why would he have wanted this?
I mean, I can't say what was in his head. I assume he wanted people to have time to absorb it and to think about it and to tailor their questions to him accordingly. I assume that's why. You know, he knows there's going to be a lot of news coverage, so it's not as if releasing this early really matters a whole lot as far as the news cycle, I don't think.
Well, Jennifer Rogers, that points me back to one part of testimony Wednesday with the intel chiefs that I thought was really interesting that you could shed light on. Andrew McCabe and Rod Rosenstein in particular were reluctant to answer several questions that they said could step on the special prosecutor investigation that Robert Mueller is currently conducting. Can you shed some light on where that line might be? Was Andrew McCabe just protecting himself in not wanting to talk about things that he may have talked to Comey about? Or is there a line here? Where is the line between what Comey can say, what FBI directors can say, and what Robert Mueller might want to keep away from them because he has his own investigation going on?
It's really hard to say because Bob Mueller is consulting with the FBI. He's working with them as he tries to figure out where he's going in his investigation. He will request that they not talk about certain things publicly. But for us, looking in from the outside, it's impossible to tell kind of what is off limits and what is on limits. So, you know, presumably Andrew McCabe and the other folks testifying, Rod Rosenstein, are correctly saying that they can't speak about things because Bob Mueller told them not to. It's just really hard to know.
And what do you make of James Comey's reported complaint to Attorney General Jeff Sessions at some point after these conversations with the president that he didn't want to be left alone with the president anymore?
I think that makes perfect sense. The FBI director reports to the Attorney General. There are protocols in place for the White House to contact the FBI. It's only supposed to be through the Attorney General's office. So there really are a lot of breaches of protocol here. And so it makes perfect sense for Director Comey to say to the Attorney General, you know, he is going outside of the lines here, and I don't like it, obviously. I don't want the FBI's independence to be compromised. So, you know, can you kind of reinforce with the president that this is not the way that things are done? You know, apparently Jeff Sessions then said he couldn't really control that. But that makes perfect sense to me that he would make that request and would want to get on record that he was not comfortable with what the president was doing and that it should instead be, as it usually is, through the Department of Justice.
You know, James Comey was reviled by a lot of people during and after the presidential election for that decision to go public with information about the investigation into Hillary Clinton's email server. Those actions earned sharp rebukes also from Rod Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, and others. How important is it, do you think, to James Comey now to regain credibility now that he's out of office or to regain a good reputation, a sterling reputation that he once had?
I think his primary concern is to just tell the public and the Congress what happened and to assert again kind of the independence of the FBI. But it is notable that he talks about, you know, telling the president that maybe the president doesn't want to order the FBI to fully investigate the dossier and whether those allegations are true or not and, you know, whether he's under investigation, because he says to the president, if we publicly come out and say you're not under investigation, then we have an obligation to change that statement if, in fact, you do end up under investigation. So, you know, it does seem as part of this, he's like again trying to say, you know, this is how it should work. This is how things should be done. And that's a bit of an echo of what happened last year around the election.
Jennifer Rogers, former federal prosecutor and colleague of James Comey, currently executive director of the Center for the Advancement of Public Integrity at the Columbia Law School. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.